folks, welcome back to the NBC Network, the Glamour Channel, iHealth Radio. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff with my guest because she's just phenomenal. She's just awesome, big smile, and just a happy person. And we're going to talk about her life and what she does. And she's going to take us to a world of travel and discovering the world and the cultures. But also, we're going to talk about glamour and her experience in the pageant world and, for a long time. And I'm not dating her, and but she'll talk about all that and her legacy awards and all the stuff, and we can talk about some safety as well, and just lifestyle and what it means, for people to really be travelers and discovering this blue planet that we call Earth. So there's a lot of places, a lot of cultures, a lot of things we do, and so now it's a great subject because I love it, and I do believe. I mean, again, we are in the Health Channel theme because travel does help us mentally and physically, decompress, enjoy ourselves, get better, live a happier life, I would say. So without any further ado, I have with me Miss World Traveler herself, Carrie Damiano. Carrie, welcome to the show.
So much. Excited to be here.
Well, listen, I mean, first of all, awesome name. Miss Travel, World Traveler. Yeah, is that you? Did you give that yourself?
It's self-proclaimed.
Yeah. All right,
but there's some reasoning behind it. One is it's been homage to my 40 plus years in the pageant industry, so that's sort of where the title and the banner comes from. But I've been traveling over 40 years as well. I've been to over 130 countries and all 50 states. So I feel like I earned the title.
Listen, I'm not even going to argue because I bet there's not a lot of people out there that hit 130 countries. There's only a few left in the world after that.
That's right.
You're almost there.
Some things off the bucket list.
Yeah. You got a couple more to go and you're done. I mean, you can say it, traveled around the world, literally, for every point. Well, it's an amazing thing. I mean, there's this whole thing about travel, right? So I, believe it or not, my first world was in the hospitality. So travel was kind of like a thing for me, okay. And since I was a kid, a child, literally, I my parents always loved to travel. So I was always taken, to places. And so, it was just like my first thing, so we go places and believe me, when I had my kids, the same thing. I mean, my daughter was literally a month. We were already going, travel. My son, was a couple months. We were already going to Puerto Rico. So just to give you an inclination for me, travel is just something we do. We love. We travel a couple of times a year, at least, my kids are a frequent traveler too. So,
and don't you find that it's kind of like your continuing education? I mean, you're always, when you go someplace new, you're learning something. You're seeing a different way that people live, or you're trying new food, or, you're being inspired by what you see. And it's just like history coming to life.
Well, it is. I mean, it is a life experience. I mean, it's a learning, life, cultural. I mean, it's everything, you can learn. I don't know. There's infinite things we learn from traveling. I mean, and I think we could spend some time here, Carrie, because let's be real. I mean, Americans do travel, but not the majority. I mean, at least overseas, there are a lot of people, they don't leave the country, right? And, I have conversations all the time with people. Oh, I've never been there. I'd love to go there. And many have heritage from these parts of the world, yet they have not even discovered those places. So we can spend some time to really give, audiences. And by the way, this is also a worldwide show, which means we have people that travel all over the world from all over the parts of the world. So it will be an interesting, dynamic in the discussion. But frankly, we'd like to encourage people to go more, do more, and discover the world. I think one of the biggest problems, or at least barriers, is not so much the financial, and although that can come up in a discussion, I think it's more about the fear.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So let's talk about that.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, and I talk to a lot of women especially, because our mission, Ms. World Traveler, is to inspire women to travel, even if you have to do it alone, and then to shop local. So that I'll get into that later, that part of it. But really the inspiring women to travel, because I hear this so often, aren't you afraid, or is it safe? And so you have to get over that, whatever it is the fear that is holding you back, address that. You know, is it, it's so expensive, how can you afford it? Or I don't know what to do when I get there. You know, just all of these questions that, you know, women specifically have, but I'm sure other people have as well, that you just, it stops you. It stops you from going. And I just think that's sad.
It is, but it is not real though, right? I mean, the fact is, it's fairly safe out there. I mean, obviously there are areas that could be hot, you know, from now, you know, every now and then, but everywhere can be a good place. Everywhere can be a bad place at any given moment.
Your own backyard. Right?
Exactly. You said you traveled in the 50 states, which, by the way, also not a lot of Americans have done the whole 50 states. I mean, I personally have done at least half of them, but I haven't done them. I want to do each and every one of them. And it's not that easy, I mean, to go through all of them. And so it takes a lot of planning and things. Now, maybe through your work, you've done quite a bit of that as well. But the fact is, you know, there's plenty to discover just right here at home, right? You know, so there's that.
And so much.
We have a very large, you know, landscape, you know, and diversified with, you know, everything you can possibly imagine with multiple time zones. I mean, we're in a couple of time zones right now. And every one of them offers different things from the north to the south, west, east, you know, so there's quite a bit.
And some places you go in our own country, it's almost like you're in a different country. I mean, it's that different, right?
Great,
have you been to New Orleans? I mean, that's just this, like, it's totally its own culture, its own way of eating and music and, you know, history and all of those, language, all of those things. So, you know, you don't have to go overseas to get an experience of something completely different.
It's true. And let's talk about, again, metropolitan areas, right? You know, so if you're in the heartland, you know, it's one thing, but if you're in East Coast, West Coast, you get a little bit of more, you know, flavor and difference in cultural festivities, cultural food and things like that. Now, it's not the 100% authentic as you would taste it and sample it if you travel to those destinations, but at least you get a little bit of a sampler right there, right? So it makes a difference. Now, you know, it's funny, you know, it's a true story. My first job that brought me to the States was to work at Walt Disney World in the Moroccan Pavilion as a tour guide. So,
and
Epcot was designed, right? So Epcot is, what is it? Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow. That's the acronym. And it was designed to get Americans closer to those destinations. And if they can go there, at least they can visit, you know, and enjoy and sample some of those cultures. So it was kind of like an intriguing experience for me personally, but it was a beautiful, you know, concept in its own to get all these, you know, some of the majority, you know, cultures in there. I mean, it was a very good mix, you know, from, you know, from Canada to Morocco to England, to France, to Japan, China. I mean, so all the iconic, you know, I would say destinations in the world, you know, they were there. I mean, there's obviously bigger, many of them that are missing, but, you know, they had a bunch of those and it was a great thing. And a lot of people, and this is true, when I used to, you know, talk to people as a tour guide, they're like, you know, where is this? Where is that? I mean, some people did not even, you know, have a clue. Let's talk about Morocco. They had no clue where it was. Nice. I've had people ask me, where is Morocco? You know, and stuff like that. And, you know, and to me, it was like, what? I mean, you don't know anything about this country. I mean, technically, it was the first country to recognize the United States. I mean, we've heard that story many times over the politics, right? But it's a real history between, you know, Morocco and the U.S. And to me, it was like surprising. Like, how is it that you don't know? I mean, we have American bases. Mm-hmm. We've had American bases. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was kind of like, you know, unique. But I learned that it was not something that was taught in school, for example, as part
of the culture.
And, like, you know, geography, and, you know, it's not a big deal. I mean, you know, even my kids to date, they are American, they're born here. I mean, you ask them about the world, I mean, they might know more because they've traveled with me, but frankly, they have not gotten that from the school system, right? So now let's talk about you. How did you get into it in the first place? Because, I mean, you know, that's a big thing. I mean, you had to start somewhere at a point or another.
Yes. Well, I started traveling with my mom, and she was pretty, you know, much kind of ahead of her time because her mother was pretty independent and traveled, you know, like during the Depression when my grandpa was, you know, he was working and he had to go kind of far and wide to find work. My grandma just, you know, loaded up her kids in the car and off she went. And so my mom, you know, sort of had this adventurous spirit from very young, and she passed that on to me. And so, you know, I've just, you know, never thought to not go. You know, it was just part of who I am and what we did as kids. And so that's how I started. First 10 years, we traveled together. After that, it was more like, I kind of want to do it on my own. I want to do what I want to do. you come to that point where you say, I don't want to have to ask anybody else what they want to do. I want to do what I want to do. So I started traveling by myself and been doing that for over 30 years now. And I just love it. I love going by myself. I love going with people too, but love going by myself.
So let's go back to that, because you know, a couple of times you mentioned going by yourself. Also, you talked about the idea of like independence and women specifically, and you encourage women. Now, I know it sounds kind of weird to hear that we're in 2024, right? I mean, women are pretty independent worldwide. They do what they have to do. I mean, some more than others, I would say. Depends on what part of the world you are. And even that could be a perception. Depends. I mean, you traveled enough. You know some of these cultures and how they work and how they operate. But you know, you talked about your grandmother being very progressive then and just doing her thing, and your mom, obviously. Now, I'm sure, listen, I mean, we know the women liberation movement in the early 70s, right? That's like the biggest, you know, transformation in terms of like how the women's rights, you know, were established in a better way, I would say. Although that's always been the case. It's supposed to have been the case. Unfortunately, that wasn't. But it changed over time. But you've kind of like, you know, inherited this bug before all that happened. And it's something that is in your family, in your genes. And I do have to say, that's a good bug to have, if anything. That's one thing we encourage people, because I think it makes people a lot happy. I have to tell you, very rarely I have encountered people on a trip that were not having a good time. I mean, sometimes they argue, when, especially couples, you know, and stuff, or maybe with the kids, they're screaming. But really, in general, they are in a better mood, better spirit. And you go to the airport, people are happier. They're just leaving everything behind, right? They're not really, you go on a cruise ship, everybody's like, yeah, you know, getting ready for some boogie, right? You know, it makes a big difference. But when you're not, it's just different. So let's talk about just the independence piece about women specifically. How the transition happened, and why maybe was some of the factors why it kind of was a little bit more difficult, financials, whatever the case may be. So let's talk about that.
Well, again, kind of wanting to do it on my own, because there's something about sort of figuring it out. And you know this because you've traveled, that when you go somewhere, it's not only the planning of it, but when you get there, if you are in a strange place where maybe you don't speak the language or you're not familiar with the customs, you have to figure things out. And there's something very satisfying about doing that. And I think once you do, then you get some confidence from it. And you're like, okay, I can do this now. And then you lose some of the fear of doing it by yourself. So for me, it was kind of this progression of learning to figure it out and becoming confident, and then wanting to do it more and more because I gained so much confidence. And I also love the flexibility. That's always been really important to me. I've had my own business for 24 years because I wanted flexibility. And so when I travel, I need that, that I want to go where I want to go. I want to go when I want to go. You know, if I had to wait for someone to go with me, I would never get to go, right? Because it's hard for people to, you know, link up their schedules, and maybe financially they're not in the same place, or whatever the reason is. I love that, just being able to go when I wanted to go and do what I wanted to do and have that full flexibility.
Well, that's a big deal, right? You know, you're right. You know, listen, I've traveled alone. I've traveled with my wife. I've traveled with my kids. I've traveled with my family. And I travel with friends. And you're right. It is not the same experience. All these are different scenarios. As you said, when you're alone, you're the master. You do whatever you want. Right. You know, when you have someone, it's two opinions that you need to kind of compromise. Right? Now you have, you know, a party of five or six, and you have kids. They all want their own thing. Now your vacation can be a little bit, you know, a little bit of nightmarish, because you have to run crazy, right? Then you have like maybe the parents, and you know, now you have to cater and work with everybody. So it becomes a lot more difficult when you have a big crowd, right? I mean, just going to dinner could be a problem, because this one's not ready.
That
one's not
ready. Right? Where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go?
Exactly. Deciding could be a pain. And listen, I've experienced that. You know, I prefer today with my kids specifically, I travel more on the cruises, because it's the only place where everybody gets to do what they want, when they want, without any confirmation or any issues. We see
cruises are great for that.
Well, yeah, once we get into that ship, bye, say hi, bye, that's it. Right. Hi, Dad. Hi,
see you
Mom.
Soon.
That's it. We'll see you at the end of the cruise ship, right? So that's really how it works, right? Now, when we travel inland, oh my God, that's where it's like someone wants to in this place, someone wants to do this, what we're going to do today. And as much as you try to plan things, as you said, planning is a big deal, right? When you're spontaneous, you can just go on a dime, boom, I'm going, I'm doing this, that's it. Now I think that, let me just, and whatever it takes you, the road takes you, you're going to find something and you're going to enjoy it. So it's different. So I get the appeal of you being more of a solitary, unique person just doing their thing and not having to worry about all that, because that's a lot of load of luggage and baggage that you carry with you.
Part of that is because I'm single, never married, no children. So I sort of had to, it was thrust upon me in a way, but I embraced it. So, I don't regret that, but I understand that, families have a different, their life is different. And so their travel is different. For me, I've made the most of my situation, just like everyone has to make the most of their own situation, right? But I want to go back to what you said when you said about spur of the moment and just going and doing. I typically don't. I probably could, but I don't, because I love the planning process. I love figuring out where I'm going to stay and what I'm going to do and, trying to get the best deals. And, there's always a budget, even if it's a big budget, there's always a budget, right? And so trying to figure that out, make it all work, and where am I going to go and that sort of thing, so that when I get there, I have the full flexibility of within that framework. I know where I'm staying and I'm going to be here 3 days. Now, what do I want to do? Then I have flexibility. So I've tried to be the spontaneous person that just takes off, but I miss the joy of the planning.
Well, again, prior planning prevents poor performance. That's a concept we use in business, right? Fail to plan to fail. And it works in travel too, because if you don't do it right, you got to have some difficulties and maybe challenges. You miss a train, you miss a plane, hotel is not there. Something can go crazy and, you can't just ad hoc things and make it work last minute. Maybe you could, but it's always at a risk. You avoid the risk.
Some people do. Some people do. They like to fly by the seat of their pants. In fact, I have a friend who travel with, she lives in Sweden. So we don't travel together all the time, but every couple of years. And this happened a few years ago that we were going to go to Greece and we were meeting there. And so I sent her hotel information 6 months in advance and I booked my room and she was supposed to book her room. Well, when she got there, she hadn't booked her room, thinking that, I can just, do it when I get there. Well, there were no rooms available. The hotel I was staying. So she had to go stay at another hotel. So that's an example of it's great to be spontaneous, but it doesn't always work.
Right? But thank you for clarifying. I mean, obviously you live, in this world of travel, right? And that's a big one. I mean, again, solo or a couple or a group, it's still, you got to pre-plan things correctly so you can have an itinerary, because again, you're going, maybe 10 days, 1 week, sometimes a couple of months, maybe a month at the time, but either way, you want to plan to maximize your opportunities, because there's a lot of stuff to see, a lot of people to meet, a lot of food to eat, and a lot of fun to enjoy, right? So there's quite a bit of that stuff out there, and no matter where, whether in the States or elsewhere, it's the same thing. And especially if the language is a barrier. Now, English is predominantly spoken almost all over the world in any hospitality environment, but not in the cities and some of these places, right? Not everybody speaks the English in the streets in some parts of the world. Some parts, they don't even speak to you just by default. They don't want to speak to you in English. They prefer you to speak their language, right? And we can talk about that experience, because I think I'd like to hear your feedback on that, because I hear that all the time. But I thank you for breaking that and the idea of like being able to plan to avoid these pitfalls. Yeah, they kind of ruin your day for a minute, because when you're stuck somewhere and you can't have a place to crash, it's going to be a problem, right? You want to sleep,
Or you have to pay way more. Ooh, I did probably a year or so ago. I was driving home from Albuquerque, and it was going to be a 6-hour drive to get back to Phoenix. That's where I'm based. And I thought, well, I had a couple hotels picked, and I'll just see how I feel, because it was nighttime. I don't know if I want to drive the whole way. So I got to one of the hotels I had selected, no vacancy, went to a second one, no vacancy. And I'm done with that now. And I ended up driving the whole rest of the way and didn't get home till after midnight, which wouldn't have been what I would have chosen, but it was that I didn't plan it well enough, trying to, just see how it feel. So no more.
Well, it's funny. You said I was laughing because this happened. So after COVID, right, everybody was locked down and stuff. So we finally decided to leave, when things were open. So we said, okay, we can't go anywhere, because at the time everything, world travel was still kind of fuzzy. So we decided to stay local. And we went to Florida. Now, local, I mean, it's like, about 6-7, I don't know, states down south. But we had to cross a few states, right? And so on the way down, it was smooth, right? On the way back, we kind of did that. We didn't pre-book any, because we didn't know where we're going to stay. And then literally, we said, okay, we're just going to drive up. And we couldn't even fly at the time because it was just too many restrictions. So we figured we'd be alone in our vehicle and just enjoy the ride, do a couple of stops. So on the way back, there were no vacancies no hotels, no motels or nothing. We wound up sleeping in a rest area, literally, because that's the only thing we could find. And by the way, we're not the only ones. There were like hundreds of people just like us in there. I've never seen such a thing and I've traveled years and years back and forth, and I love to actually drive to Florida. And believe me, it was the craziest thing to see. Like, I'm not the only one who decided to do that. Everybody else did, but there were no vacancies anywhere. It doesn't matter if you looked online, you went, you knocked on doors, everything was done. Airbnb, all the stuff is the same. It was nuts. And so, but that was kind of post-COVID. So everybody wanted to just get out at the same time.
Yes. And I remember that. I kind of did the same thing. I took road trips just because you got to go somewhere, right?
Well, so I want to talk about something very unique, because you mentioned I book my stuff and stuff. So we kind of talk about technology. Now, you've traveled for 40 years and technology has changed and shifted over these times. I mean, we didn't have Airbnbs. We didn't have these apps and Booking.com and Expedia and all these things. Prior to that, I mean, you literally have to look at a map and maybe get the book.
And use a travel agent. I mean, the first probably 10, 15 years I traveled, I used a travel agent.
All right. So let's talk about that then and now, because I mean, that also shifted, quite a bit, and how is it now compared to that? Was it better just to use a travel agent? You tell them what you want, they do it. What's your tip?
When I first started traveling by myself, I did a lot for business, and that made sense to use an agent, because, with busy and it was more, it wasn't like corporate travel, but it different than when you are planning for yourself for vacation. But really enjoy now, as I mentioned, I love to do the planning. And so I like doing the research, checking everything. And certainly as Ms. World Traveler, I have to do a lot. I mean, I do weeks of research before I go somewhere, because we have such a short amount of time to film the show. So, our typical schedule is we go in, on day one. Day two and three, I'm shopping the whole city and writing a script and putting a whole story together. Day four, we film, and day five, we fly home. So it happens very, very quickly, which means I have to know where I'm going before I get there. So the research to me is, part of the fun, but it's also just important so that you get the most out of this, whatever time that you've got.
Well, so interestingly speaking here, because you talked about, the show and recording all the stuff, can you just break that down to our audiences? Because someone will be like, what are you talking about? I mean, because obviously you're doing something for your own business that has to do with this. So let's just get our audiences close to it.
Sure. Well, Ms. World Traveler is not only a person, but it's a web series on YouTube. And basically we go feature a city. And once we get there, the idea is to feature artists, designers, entrepreneurs, local people. This is the shop local element that I mentioned earlier. And partly why we're doing this is it's very different from what other travel bloggers and vloggers are doing. So as you know, most of them are giving you travel tips on where to stay, where to eat, you know, bungee jumping off a cliff and eating scorpions and all kinds of things.
Reviews.
It's just not me. You know, it might be you. You seem like an adventurous guy, but it's very much not me. And I'm into the glamour and style and fashion and art and antiques and things like that. So I put this show together thinking that there are people who want to see a different side of travel. So that's what we focus on. Okay, you go to this beautiful city. We just got back from Toronto just a couple of days ago. And there's wonderful shopping there. So we talk a lot about the history of the city and interesting things to see. But here is a shop that you can go to. And then you meet the person who runs it and hear their inspiration and what they do. And maybe watch them make their things, or things that are made right there. This is partly what inspires people to travel. Is they see something they're interested in that I want to go see that. So that's what we're doing on our YouTube channel.
Well now it's beyond the YouTube channel, because I think you're expanding your reach and you're obviously getting a lot more traction. And you know, it is an important thing, because what you do is, I think it's very vital to the world of discovery of a lot of stuff. As you said, there's many ways of doing this. Everybody has, there's a lot of people that are doing, as you said, the travel vlogs and, you know, blogs and just, you know, shows about traveling, right? I mean, from the main networks to the YouTube and, you know, all the communities, right?
In between, right?
You know, social media is big about that. And, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, and it's very awesome stuff that you see, like, you know, and no matter how much you know, there's always something you're going to learn more every day, because someone discovers something and shares it. And it's a beautiful thing. But you taking people into that whole experience and get them closer to the action, as you mentioned earlier about the experience, the learning, the culture, the direct from the source concept, right? And that's a big deal. Now, 130 destinations worldwide. And let's not even talk about the States.
Or more. I mean, I've quit counting.
You quit counting. Okay. Well. Yeah. So. Were they all, you know, in this particular, in the business, like in what you do, or were they like some a mixture of all, you know, your personal versus the ones from work?
Mixture, but it's over 40 years. So the very first overseas trip that I went on was with my mom as a college graduation present. And it was one of those 10 countries in 17 days on a bus.
Europe, the tour, right?
Exactly. First start out. That's a great way to do it. You're kind of taken care of. You don't have to figure out your itinerary. Somebody's taking you from one place to the next and then tell you, go here and do that. So that's a great way to get your feet wet, you know, if you're new to it. If you're a more seasoned traveler, that's a little bit, you know, 101 level for you. But great way to get started. So that was my first introduction to overseas travel. From there, I just, you know, got this, I have a sense of curiosity and a love of history. And so I just wanted to see more and more and more. And so I just, you know, expanding. And now, since I've done all the low-hanging fruit, it's hard to get places, more expensive places. So I have a trip coming up, for example, that is Cambodia, Laos, Sumatra, Malaysia, and Indonesia. So those are some places I haven't been.
I can tell you, I haven't been, but I have a close friend who's done that particular, you know, those particular destinations. And he is, you know, he swears that this will be the best experience someone can have. And these destinations are hot. So you're in for a treat. So I, you know, again, I haven't experienced it, but just based on, he would not lie to me. And I know he's also a traveler that loves to and enjoys different cultures and food and just, you know, luxury and all that stuff. So he's, you know, sometimes I go to him like, you know, what's your tip? Especially in, I've done a lot of Europe and, you know, Africa and the Western side, but not the Asian, you know, continent, if you want to call it that way. So he has done quite a bit of that. And it seems Fantastic. To be very, very attractive locations with the culture, the food. Obviously, they are, I mean, from what we know, but it's different to see it and hear about it versus going and experience it. So that's right. Now, let me ask you this. What would be your top destination out of the 130 versus your potentially, I'm not going to go back there, destination? Do you have that? Or are they
I have a lot of places that I am very glad that I visited. but I don't need to go back. So, you know, it's checked off. And then there are places, and I would say probably Paris would be my top one, that I could go back again and again and again and experience it in a different way. In fact, I just did a year ago, May. I spent a whole month, like 5 weeks there. And it had been a hit list item to go, you know, live there. I rented an apartment and lived like a local. I went to the grocery store and, you know, cooked, if you could call it that. For myself, but I wanted a different kind of experience because I'd been there several times before. And as you know, you're in a rush. You get there and you got to see everything and you got to do everything. And it's a rush if you're a tourist. If you have a different attitude of living there, the pace slows down and you have the luxury of time. And so I really enjoyed that because I got to see neighborhoods I never would have seen that weren't touristy. You know, had I been, trying as a tourist to see as much as possible. So that was a very different experience. And I think Paris is a place with enough depth that you can spend a lot of time there. So go back and see something completely different the next time.
Actually, that's I've lived in Paris myself for about a month, just like you.
Do you agree with that assessment?
Oh, I do. And well, I mean, the story is that this is going to be a trick question for you.
Okay.
Have you visited Morocco?
I have, yes.
Is that one of those destinations you go back to?
I do need to go back. And the reason is I did it on a bus tour. And I want to say it was 1993, probably, that I did it last. And I'm sure there's just a lot of changes and, would love to go back and see it. So all right, you're recommending it, I'm guessing.
Well, so I am originally from there. So I was born there. And obviously it's a French, colony. So French was there. So I grew up, more on the French side because that my generation was more like the French everything. And maybe I'm one of the last generation elements that had that full French influence, but also had family and friends. So therefore I got to spend quite a bit of, time even today. I mean, my sister-in-law lives in France. And so we get to spend life, and I was young at the time, I was 13, and it was beautiful. I mean, Paris is rich. I mean, culturally, food, I mean, everything is a beautiful place. So yes, I mean, I enjoy, and I've gone many times over. And by the way, my friend that I just mentioned, he actually went, he studied in Paris and he got his surgery, degree there.
Wonderful.
And so I get to also visit with him when he was there. So it's a beautiful place. And yeah, so it is a top destination for a lot of people. It's also the romantic, city of lights, So if you,
sure.
you want to have some nice time, it's a good place to be. But yeah, so that's that. But now, as far as Morocco is concerned, yeah, 93 to now, it's just a whole different country. I mean, literally,
I know
what you've seen.
It's embarrassing, isn't it? I need to go back.
Well, again, I'm the reason I asked, because I wouldn't have told you the story. But since you said you'll go back, it is a hot destination. It's definitely a tourism, hub, and it just got more developed since you've been there in terms of everything, infrastructure, the highways, the trains, the planes, the airports.
Sure.
Everything is much better. I mean, they're getting ready to host the World Cup now. So imagine that.
I do have a question for you. When I was there in 93, whenever it was, I obviously was much younger and did not have gray hair. And I did get an offer of 500 camels for marriage. So I'm just, and my answer was, if it's not 2000, I'm not even listening. So do you think, with inflation, I could get more camels this time?
You probably can get more Benzes right now, like, G-Wagons and Bentleys. They've changed the currency at this stage.
Right here. Maybe I get less camels this time.
No. There's no more camels now. By the way, true story. I had a very similar, like my partner, literally in business. He went there with his wife and a couple. And someone didn't make that offer. For me, it pisses me off when someone does that. It's a joke, but it's not a funny joke.
It's a joke, but
it's just not, but it is redundant. I've heard it, many times. I mean, I also run the Morocco channel, which is, the first English, channel from Morocco. It's not, country channel. It's not our network. But the idea is to bring the culture to what it is and so on and so forth. But this is something that comes up in a lot of discussion when I hear, when I talk to someone who's been there. And I don't know why these people have this idea that it's okay to trade for camels. We don't even have camels, other than in the desert. They're not in the street.
You know, I, empty offer. I got all excited and it was an empty offer.
It was an empty offer. But you know, this is a funny story. It's a true joke. I was at Disney, you know, it was maybe a month in, right? And so these guys came in for the tour, and literally someone asked me, where are the camels? I'm like, they're parked in the back. I literally went back. You know, I was still young and kind of like, it got me like really like turned off a little bit as a question, like, where are the camels? That's all you see us. Now, at the time, I didn't realize like that was really the perception. You know, Morocco has a lot, you know, because what you see about Morocco is what? You see camels, the desert, you know, and that's, you know.
That's why you travel, right? Because you have these perceptions that are wrong and you've got to go see it for yourself. And I'm sure that you have heard this a lot. You know, when people say, oh, well, that's this, or, you know, they try and tell you what it is. And it's like, if you haven't been there, you don't really know what it is. So go see for yourself. Make up your own mind and have your own opinion based on actual experience.
Well, so that is a big point. And, you know, Carrie, this is something that I think for all world travelers and I would say American travelers, you know, we see things in the movies, we see things, you know, there's a reason why they are the way they are, the way they look, you know, like for everybody, like there's Casablanca, Humphrey Bogart, the cafe. I'm like, that cafe, I mean, they just put one together, but that movie was in California in the studio. It had nothing to do with the real city. but the fact is true. I mean, you know, again, I studied in the International Institute of Tourism, you know, in Morocco, which was, you know, part of Lausanne's Hospitality and even Cornell. They're attached to each other under the World Tourism Organization. So my background is in tourism in Morocco and that part of the world. And but the fact is, a lot of perception out there, and I'm not talking about Morocco in general. People think that these people do this, these other part people do this. When you travel, it's a whole different experience. I mean, let's talk another one, like pizza, right? We all eat pizza here. Well, you go to Rome and Italy and you go outside, it's not the same. I mean, it's a whole different, the meals are different, the food is different. You know, you go to France, I mean, escargot, snails. Now they have other food than the snails. I mean, yes, it's a delicacy, but they got a lot of stuff, you know, frog legs. I mean, they do have those too, but they have a lot, you know, their French cuisine is top notch, right? So there's a lot of perception, you know, about the travel. You go to Asia, for example, you hear about all these people, you know, eat cats and dogs and stuff. I mean, literally, you see some of these posts that tell you that. Now, are there places where you can find that? Probably. The world is what it is. And, you know, people have to do what they have to do to eat what they got to eat. But the fact is, you know, discover it for yourself. And I love that you really encourage that. Go. There's, you know, you will never get to experience a culture unless you, and by the way, that was actually the message that Disney wanted, you know, by creating Epcot. Right, is the Epcot idea? Yeah, he created that so people can experience authentic food, authentic people. I mean, we were brought from there for a reason, you know. So we brought that culture. You were Moroccan. You had, you know, you learn, you know, the country. You know, you were a true representation, not someone who just speaks, you know, the language or just knows about the culture, who just guide you through. Like, hey, you can find this. It's authentic. If you ask me, I am the culture, right? I represent it, right? So that's kind of like how he wanted to do it. So you went to Japan, you talked to Japanese people. You went to France, you got French people, you know? So you actually had that experience coming to you. Well, that was just a sampler of what the world looks like. Now, if you can go and just touch these countries, and as you said, even in the States, I mean, you go to these remote areas, you're going to meet, I mean, a good example, the Amish country, you know, just outside of, you know, Pennsylvania, I mean, in Pennsylvania, like a couple hours literally from Jersey here, you know, it's a whole different world. People are living you've been there, right? So they don't use technology, right? They have a different way of belief. They're, and it's right here. It's not even like literally you can go back in history just there and see people living like 200 years, you know, in the modern world. And, you know, like it's astonishing to see such, you know, an actual experience right in the States. People don't even know that there's such a thing here, right? You know, you talk to some kids like, you know, we have people with buggies and horses in the street, no lights. Oh, really? What the hell? But it's real. Right. So let's talk about your additional experiences. Now, we talked about top, we talked about Morocco. What makes you decide, for example, not to go to a place?
What makes me decide to go places? Was that your question?
Not to go back.
Oh, well, that's a good question. And I'm not sure I've ever been asked that. Other than that. I think it's that I felt like I saw enough, that I got the sense. And again, there really aren't any places that I can say, there's one or two. I can say, I didn't have a great experience there. Most of the time it was a good experience. It was just enough. And I guess I don't know how to describe it more than just saying it was enough. And
well, I get it.
You know, I would probably say that there probably is more, but it didn't fill me with a desire to discover more. And you probably know this from travel as well, that when you go somewhere and you leave and you're just like, you need more. I need more. There's more to be discovered. I need to go to more cities. I need to go to the north, the south, and I need to see more. There are some places that don't cause that sort of passion for more. And so that's when I say it was enough. It was just enough.
Well, no, but that's a great point, because you're right. Some destinations are rich, you know, and they have so much to offer, and a week, a month is not even enough to give them justice. However, there are places where if you go there, I mean, my wife and I, we have this discussion all the time, like, and what about like the Maldives, a good example. It's a beautiful place, but how much of a hut and a bungalow on the water are you going to be in, you know, for...
And that's exactly right. And I think some of it has to depend on what your interests are. So if you want to lay out on the beach, if that's your thing, if that's your vacation, and I want to relax, I want to read, I want to just hang out, then you can go and do that. If you love culture, you know, I want to see museums and I want to do lots of different cultural things, you're going to run out, you know, of those kinds of things to do. And then what's left is that's really what I want to do. So, for example, I've been places that what there is to do is all nature. It's hiking, horseback riding, hiking, climbing, mountain climbing, you know, adventure type things. And that's not my sense of adventure. So, you know, I go, I look, okay, there's a volcano and there's a forest. Okay, are we done now? Right? So it somewhat depends on what your interests are and what you want to do, what kind of a vacation you'd like to have.
Well, thank you, because that's a big one, right? And you're right, people have different interests. I mean, but now with the travel industry, I mean, you have hundreds of options of types of this vacation, you know, packages that are available. Like, some are religious, some are for fun, some are for like, you know, sports, and you know, whatever you want, golf, you want business. I mean, there's so many things that are available out there that people are, you know, designing these trips that are specifically for audiences and what they want and what they choose. But you're right. If you go to a destination and you kind of like, I've seen there, been there, done that, so, you know, it's okay. Because at the end of the day, there are things that are repetitive. You know, as you said, the forest is a forest, and you're going to go to a lot of places that look alike. A beach, you know, with sandy beach and turquoise water, there's plenty of those also. Right. So once you do a couple of them, they all look the same. You know, again, now many people may not understand this unless they've gone to a few places around the world, and then you'd be like, okay, you know, it's just another island, right? And really, that's what it is. It's just not an island with a lot of water, and you see almost the same, you know, geography, topography, whatever. It's all the same, and you can, like, you know, enjoy it, but yeah, it's like, you know, it's cool. But there are destinations that are so hot and so diversified. There's so much stuff to do that you cannot really, you know, you need more time to go back and back. I mean, you said Paris, you know, you can be in Paris for years and still may not have discovered it all. You know, if you know, unless you do this every day. Listen, we're in New York. This is a true story. I mean, I've asked people, have you gone to this? Have you gone to this? Have you seen that? No, I haven't done. Haven't been. You know, like, why not? Because I live here. And that's the other thing. Many people that are
local. That's a local, big excuse, isn't it?
A lot of people, they don't even discover their own backyard, literally, like what's going on. I mean, there are people here in the East Coast that probably, I would guarantee there's a percentage, now I may be wrong, but that have not maybe been to New York or anywhere close to that, because they just haven't had a chance to. But again, there's reason why people don't do and don't go. But the fact is, your world is to encourage people to go out there, to enjoy, to discover. Now, there's one other, I mean, you focus on the glamour. So I want to expand on that, because that's your background. That's you were in the pageant world. So if you can bring us close to what that looks like. Now, I've had actually a pageant, you know, Miss, you know, on a show before, so I can I know more about it, and I know a lot of people know about it. Miss Congeniality, the movie, and all the stuff. So there's a lot of that, but there's a lot of glamour that comes with that. But you took that and you took it on the road, basically around the world. So let's talk about that experience and that connection.
Sure, sure. Well, I started in pageantry in 1981. So as I said, it's been over 40 years, and my journey there is one that, you know, started as a contestant and quickly moved into judging, coaching, sponsoring, volunteering, you know, some of the other things. And what I love about it, what is so addicting to me, is being able to change the trajectory of someone's life and watching young women sort of become who they're supposed to be, watching them grow in confidence, watching them learn skills that will, you know, that are life skills that take them beyond, you know, the vehicle is pageantry, but it's life skills that you're learning. And so to be able to be part of that is something that is very fulfilling for me, brings me a lot of joy. And so that's why I've stayed in it so long. And, you know, how it kind of relates to travel, it's not that I travel glamorous. And some people think glamour and luxury are go together. You know, I'm staying at 5-star hotels. You know, I travel, and I would say on a budget, like I said, everybody has a budget. I'm not staying in hostels, but, you know, I'm watching my expenses and that sort of thing. So glamour is not the same as luxury, but I think you can still travel glamorously, budget.
Well, thank you. That's a big, you know, literally clarification for people, because you're right. There is that I guess perception. Again, it's all perception. Glamour, luxury go tight. Yeah, there's some luxury and glamour, but not necessarily, you know, the same. And you're right. It's a whole different experience, you know, because what you've experienced then in the pageantry world is really learning, changing. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, there's a lot of work. And anyone who, see, there's perception. I mean, you see movies and things like that, it's one thing, but in reality, it's a whole work that is being done. And there's you know, plenty of things. Now you've taken that in terms of what you look for in your trips. Now in the shows, what you look for is that experience, like, you know, to bring that culture, that positive, that glamorous piece of the destination. So how does that work? How do you extract that?
Well, I think it's just things that I'm interested in covering. Again, I'm not doing the gritty, you know, and I hear people say, you know, the gritty, get off the beaten track kind of a thing. Well, if it's about shopping and art and design and that sort of thing, it's not going to be off the beaten track. It's going to be on the beaten track, but not necessarily something people are, that they go to look for. They just sort of find it by accident. And I want to help that process, that, you know, it doesn't have to be by accident. You can find these very interesting people to talk to, and art and culture and some of those things that the little bit of glamour, I think, to the, you know, sneakers and camera around your neck and the picture of, if you're a tourist, then you can't have any glamour. I don't think that that's true. And so my idea is to, you know, dress well, and I always have my hair and makeup done, no matter whether it's hot out or cold out or the difficulty of the travel. I still look like this. I still have my earrings on, still my banner and my lipstick, and you know, so that also, I think, adds that just a little bit of glamour, that you can do it differently. You don't have to have a set thing in your mind as to what travel is. It can be many, many different things.
Well, you're glamorous, and you know what? That's the way we should all be, right? You know, and you're right. We can make that
be yourself.
Well, exactly. Well, here's the thing. People, when they travel, they're like, I'm on a trip. I don't have to look. You know, I'm just running, you know, I'm going to be in my shorts or whatever, you know, like you're on a trek mode as opposed to like really enjoying stuff. And so that's the difference. So you're right. It doesn't have to be luxury, but doesn't mean you have to undermine the way you look and the way you actually show yourself to the world. Right. And, you know, you've done it. You make it look good. You're making it work, and there's nothing wrong with it. And you travel around the world too. So
I make it look easy.
Well, I remember, for anyone that's watching, it's always going to look easy for that side, right? When someone, they never, people always look at you on the final, like the end product, right? They don't see like how much time does it take to someone to get where they are and how they look,
that's
right?
True.
It is, you know, people don't even have a value sometimes about like, you know, what it takes to for someone to get ready for all these events, right? Or anything, right?
Yes.
So it's funny, I was watching a reel or something just a couple of days ago that popped up about like Russians, you know, and I'm not, this is not a political show, folks, you know, and I, you know, I don't judge any culture. I love all the cultures, but the idea is that, so they were talking, the question was, what do you think about Americans? And one of the comments was like, well, they don't dress up when they go out, you know, they come out of pajamas. But that shows that how the perception is of what people think of who we are and stuff. You know, and it is true, because I have Russian friends, and you know, in the culture in Russia, it doesn't matter if you're going to get a milk or you're going to go to get, you know, a paper or your mail, they dress up for the occasion no matter what. They look good, they come out, and that is a contrast in our culture comparably, right? So we don't do that. We're like more casual, you know, I'm just, you know, having an off day, right? But when we dress, you know, to impress, right? But it's just, those are the things that people don't realize until they travel. Then you start understanding, like, every culture is different. I mean, you go to France, it's different. These people have a different way and air about themselves, right? You know, you go to Spain, festive, you know, that's how they are. They do the siesta. They're lively at night. It's all, I mean, I'm sure you love Spain too. I love Spain. I mean, it's one of my favorite destinations is like Andalusia, the south of Spain. So, I mean, Malaga is a hot place. It's a great place to go. You know, so I recommend Malaga to anyone that has not been to Spain. Just go there. It's fun. But, you know, so those are the things. Like, another destination I love is Dubai. I don't know if you probably have. It's
Dubai, and it was one of my places that I was glad I went, but I don't need to go back.
Again, I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to ask. But I mean, you know, there's got to be a reason. But you know, again, it is a hot destination. I mean, there's a lot of promotion to it, and it is happening there. I mean, it's just very festive, very happening, right?
I think probably if I had a reason, you know, I was doing something, whether shooting the show or judging a pageant or something like that, I'd be happy to go back. But just as a vacation spot, I don't know that that there's more for me there.
But I think a show there would be nice. You know,
it would. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll have to put that on my list.
Well, you know, they have. I don't know if you've seen the Dubai Bling.
There is what?
Dubai Bling. It's on Netflix. It's, I think, season 3 now. You got to see it. Then you'll be like, oh, I'm going to go and do my show there. Because it is about glamour and stuff. It's a very, you know, it's like Dubai luxury life and all stuff. And it's like Jersey Shore and stuff, but like Dubai version. Like, you know, or like, you know, Beverly Hills Bling, whatever. There's like some of these, you know, it's almost a copy of, you know, a similar concept, you know, of a show. But you'll see it, you'll watch it, you'll enjoy it. As a matter of fact, we even met some of the folks that are in there, and they great people, and it's an interesting world, you know, that they depict in there, and it is part of the fabric, I guess, of Dubai now. So yeah, once you watch that, you'd be like, I think I'm gonna go and do me a glamorous show there.
To, you know, put it back on the list, right?
I'm just saying, we'll be meeting there because that's my destination. I'd love to go there. But again, as you said, you're right. There are destinations that don't fulfill you the same way than other. They're not just because of what you're looking for, right? And that's actually true for everyone that's watching, listening. There's no endorsement, folks. You know, they're recommendations, and everybody, like, what may look good for you may not look good for me. You know, that's just how it is. We have different tastes, and that's what makes us who we are as humans, right? You know, that goes also for like food, taste, color, perfumes.
Everything.
Some people love
everything.
Heavy duty perfumes.
Well, like bright, you know, colors. When you see those like futuristic movies, everybody's wearing the same thing. Everybody's in the same outfit. You know, I mean, we as humans, that's abhorrent to us, right? To have to be forced to eat the same thing, wear the same thing, look the same. You know, we want to have that individual expression, and, you know, your lifestyle is going to translate to how you travel, and each one has a little bit different way that they want to approach the world. And that's a good thing.
It is. And you just literally stated, you know, a couple minutes ago about how you want to show up to the world, and that's your signature, you know, and everyone has, very, you know, true, their own signature, and that's your brand. That you, that's the way you appear. That's the way you vibe, right? And that's a good thing, yes. you know, and yeah, that you should be unique. You don't have to be like a copy or clone of anybody else. And by the way, even twins that are identical, they still are different, you know. And exactly. And sometimes, you know, we've been brought to the idea that all the twins, for example, they wear the same, they dress the same, they look the same. But that's just only when they're babies. Once they grow up, they right, do their own thing.
Right.
So, Carrie, again, a lot of travel, a lot of stuff. Now, how does your program work? Let's talk about, like, you know, if someone wants to participate in your program, you know, or your show. Sure. How do you do this? I mean, is it a selection? What happens?
Well, I find the stores. So people don't request to be on it. I find them. But certainly if people would like to follow our journey, that would be wonderful. So we're at YouTube, Ms. World Traveler, MS, Ms. World Traveler. And we have Instagram as well, which is Carrie Ms. World Traveler, K-E-R-R-Y, Carrie Ms. World Traveler. So, you know, we would love for people to, you know, follow us and, you know, make some comments. You know, what do you want to see? Where would you like us to go? That kind of thing. We'd love that sort of thing.
And you select, you know, for example, if you go to somewhere, you see a store, you see an arts, you know, gallery or something, and you basically kind of, this is it. And then you talk to them, you get your approvals,
I know when I go in, typically, if it's the right place. And part of, you know, you were talking about branding. I have, you know, a specific kind of shop that I want to show. I want to have something made locally. So that it's, and sometimes you get to see it being made, sometimes you don't. And if it's not made locally, designed locally or inspired by something local, I really want that local, you know, element to it, that, because that's what inspires you to go. You know, if it's just something you can find anywhere. So I don't cover any shops that you can just find anywhere. So no big brand names, things like that, because it doesn't inspire you to travel. It might inspire you to shop, but not to travel. So, you know, I really want those things that when you go here, this is what you'll find. And this is a person that you'll meet. And so it brings that sort of personal element into it, but also it's unique to this place. That's what I
mean. You also do a great service to the people, because you're highlighting them and, you know, to your audiences, and people get to know them. Now they know where to go. So, and that's the thing, like, that you're an influencer. When you state and you show that, I see that stuff. Oh, I want to go visit that place, right? Because now it becomes a highlight.
That's the idea.
And really, but that's great, yeah, because, you know, and that's the thing, that with the new technology, with the social media now, it's happening a lot more. We get to see places and know places that are pre-sampled for us, and basically, like, wow, okay. Like, again, as you said, back in the days, you probably would have to do this research yourself and work and discover things. Now you discover them for others, you know, basically, here it is. Here's where you can go and have some fun. Here's where you can look at this. And I'm not talking about just you in general. That's what you see in today's world, right? You know, whatever it is that you like, there's someone out there that's presenting it, you know, and highlighting
absolutely
it. You know, so I love that. Well, you and I have to show. I think I'm going to connect you with a friend of mine who has a travel agency, and you guys can maybe work something out, because.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
I so love that.
That might work, you know, where, because you guys can plan something where you can go highlight some good art, you know, artsmanship and all that stuff. So, I mean, there's quite a bit of stuff around the world, and I love, like, your next destination, you're going to have quite a bit of content, because it's going to be awesome. Again, it's on my to-do list. Definitely, I know that it's going to be hot. And all those ones that you mentioned are great. I know people also from those destinations I know people that live there too. And so these places are just, you know, awesome. And I think every part of the world, there is not a spot on this planet.
There's something to recommend it,
exactly,
right?
Every single spot, you know, even the parts that we think that maybe they're the worst or they're not safe and stuff. There's, if you go to the local people and you talk to the people, you're going to find just culture and beautiful, you know, yes, souls out there. You know, I mean, the safety, as you said, that's one thing that we always concern about. And you know, obviously you don't go flashy and show jewelry and stuff in places where there's poverty, for example, stuff. You want to be humble. You want to feel, you know, the vibe with people. You're there for the people, not to show your luxuries and stuff. And that's sometimes, I'm not talking about the glamour. I'm talking in general for people travel. That's one of the reasons. Right. If you go somewhere where, you know, these people may not have the lifestyle that you're expecting for, you know, at this point, then you have to respect, you know, their world too. Right. So, so you can discover that.
Absolutely.
It's not about taking pictures and, you know, doing stuff. It's more about doing the right thing for before the people. So, right. But you'll discover these people.
Let me touch on that because I think that's something, a question that people who maybe don't travel as much do have. And I'll give you an example of kind of what I'm talking about, because, you know, it's hard for us as Americans when even our poorest people are rich in comparison to some people around the world. So Madagascar, for example, have you ever been there, Madagascar? Oh. Well, it's extremely poor, just almost heart-wrenching to see how the people live there. But, you know, when I went, I stay in their hotels, I hired guides, I ate in restaurants, I bought handicrafts, you know, took taxis, I contributed to the local economy. And there were children in the streets begging, and I never gave to them, because if you give to that, that just perpetuates the problem of children begging, which is unsafe, children begging in the streets. But I contributed their economy. That's how I feel. I helped them. Hiring a guide, well, probably the amount of money that I paid him was enough to feed his family for a month, and staying in a hotel that supports, you know, gals cleaning the rooms, those sorts of things. So I think you have to kind of get your mind around, how can I truly help people? And it's by giving them meaningful work and helping them, you know, in the economy as a whole.
Well, that thank you for clarifying that. And that's a big, great point, because again, when we travel, we bring currency to that part of the world, right? Whatever that is. Now, the dollar for the longest have been a stronger currency. I mean, in the last couple of decades, maybe up and down. I mean, it's the euro and the dollar. Since the euro, things have been up and down. I mean, sometimes we're high, sometimes we're low, but now we're about just about the same. But when you go to these countries, just definitely a big fluctuation in terms of currency to whatever their current, you know, the local. And yeah, you're right. You help, you know, the economy by stimulating it, by bringing that nice hard currency to them. And you're right. The services that you use there, you know, are contributing to these families and stuff. And I love what you said. You know, yes, I know we feel bad when you see someone begging, but we are almost training those folks that it's okay to beg as opposed to work and earn money. And in real life, we have to earn. You know, there's nobody, you know, gives a hand, you know, these days. You got to really, you know, work hard for anything that you're doing.
It doesn't help their economy.
Exactly. Well, I mean, right? To them at the time, but that's the, I mean, by the way, that culture is in a lot of countries, you know, and, yes. You know, believe me, I've seen it, you know, in parts of the world that sometimes you might not even think. I mean, you know, it's funny because I mentioned Dubai. Now in Dubai, if you get caught, you know, panhandling there, whatever, they'll dismiss you. They take you out of the country. So just some countries are so rigid about these things because they kind of take away that picture that's being depicted for that, you know, particular destination. But obviously some countries, they just, as you said, the level of, I can't compare the UAE with Madagascar in terms of economies, right? So certainly the circumstances are different. But the fact is, you know, again, there are poor people. But by the way, we don't have to go far. I mean, I can literally travel in Jersey, and I can go to areas in Jersey that look and feel, you know, in a level that is similar to other places around the world where the economy is not as great. So it is that sad that we have that in the backyard here, you know, and even here, I mean, we have a lot of stuff that, you know, sadly, you know, available to us that is not as appealing. But that's the thing. We don't, I guess, encourage those behaviors. We help, as you said, by creating opportunities and jobs and so on and so forth. So it's a big point. Now, some people may disagree, and, you know, obviously they're entitled to their opinion, but the fact of the matter is, you know, we want to help the world, you know, we want to help people, help them by showing them a trade, a trick, something, teach them something that they can generate, you know, teach them how to fish, right? You know, and again, that's the easy way, as you said. I mean, when you give someone the money, it's, and by the way, easy come, easy go, right? As they say, money that is not earned, you don't have the value for it. You'll spend it just as much, and you'll be always in need of more. So, but thank you for bringing that. That's a big learning point, for people. Doesn't matter, but it does happen in travel because you do expect to see that when you travel a lot around the world.
Right.
So, Carrie, we're coming to the end of the show. We've exceeded the hour, but this is interesting stuff. It's fun, but what would you tell people? Just as a summary of travel in general, and why they should travel.
Well, one, I'm going to borrow from Nike and say, just do it. But start small. Start in your own backyard, especially if you're going to do it by yourself. Just maybe plan a weekend trip or an overnight somewhere. Or if you want to meet with friends and you're not sure, just plan something small that it's not the end of the world if it's not your cup of tea, right? And then try different things. Like we talked about, that people have different styles of travel. Maybe you are a person who wants to go, go, go. That's me. I want to be go, go, go all the time. So I have a very good friend who her idea of a vacation is to just sit at the beach. We know we can't travel together. We're still good friends. We just know that we're not a good match in terms of being able to go somewhere together. So, try the first step, just a little bit. And if it doesn't work, maybe try it in a different way and see if that works for you. So, it's a process to get to the point where you said, this is my style. This is how I like to travel. And this is what I'm comfortable doing.
Well, thank you. And it's funny that you said that, because there is a point, that is great about, when you select, whoever you're going to travel with. Travel is a big test of humans. Traveling with people, dealing with people financially, and lending money to people. Those are three areas where you can rediscover the true essence of humans. So one of these can differentiate, your feel about people and how you feel about them. And when you travel with people, you're right. You got to be, decisive and selective in terms of who, because you're right. If you're not having similar, tendencies and expectations, you're just going to bump heads and you're going to be it's going to be an off, vacation. You're going to ruin it. And
And you might think that you hate travel from that when you don't. That's right. Just that wasn't the right
destination
for you.
Or the destination, because they can ruin it for you.
That's right. That's very true. You can't blame the destination if you didn't have a good time, if it wasn't the right fit for you.
Well, again, but just as an advice, so thank you for sharing that, because the fact is, folks, again, if you are a lonely, person and you like to be a solo and do stuff and you're completely independent, then that's the route. You like to deal with people and you can compromise, because that's the thing. It will take compromise. It's not always by you. You want to give and take. And that's what makes a trip really work when you're in a group. You gotta put your ego out to the side. You gotta be able to weigh in, weigh out, and balance it out. It's not always gonna be your decision. Not my way or the highway. Those are things. Maybe you do a vote. Maybe you do my day today, tomorrow's your day. I decide on lunch, you decide on dinner. These are things that can make it better. But you're right. If you have complete opposite, tracks in terms of what drives you on the vacation, I want the beach, you want the museum, that's not going to fly. Well, listen, this has been a fun hour. I enjoyed this exchange. Yeah. Thank you so much for really being with us. And
thank you for having me. I appreciate that.
Oh, it's a true pleasure and an honor. And certainly, yes, I'll have the link of your YouTube channel on the description of the show. Also on our website, when they click on you, they can go straight there. So if you like to travel and you want to learn about other destinations and, specifically in the world of Miss World Traveler, you might be able to learn a lot of different things and now have different destinations that you can plan to go and visit, right? So do that. Carrie, thank you so much for being with us today.
It's been You're fun. Welcome. Had a great time.
Thank you. Well, so did I. And folks, I hope you enjoyed it likewise, equally, and learned some stuff here. And definitely, I had fun, with the exchange. So we'll be talking soon. New day, new show, new topic, new guest. Bye for now.